Right now, we'll turn to information about your car. Are you hearing a wobble or a whine where there should be a hum? Our next guest has heard many of those over the years. Zach Edwards is the owner of Ashland Automotive, and he's our partner in a monthly segment we call The Squeaky Wheel. In this context, you are the squeaky wheel. Give us a call or email to talk about automotive issues you've had or are currently having. Again, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. This month, we're going to go beyond the engine, or technically behind the engine, to focus on the transmission of your vehicle. Zach, good to have you back in the studio.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
So transmission seems to be one of those mysterious things. It's kind of a shroud, I think. You know, even people who understand how internal combustion works with, you know, all the strokes of the piston and everything that goes on in there still are a little mystified by the workings of a transmission.
Yeah, I think so. The primary purpose of the transmission is to transmit the power generated from the engine to the wheels and to the road. So that's, you know, by definition, a transmission. And so you have the automatics nowadays, which is probably 95% of the cars.
Is it that much?
Sold.
95%, yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard to find a car with a manual transmission on the lot. I've talked to many people who requested a manual transmission and had to be special ordered. So a lot of dealers just aren't even putting them out there.
Just for terms of repairs, I mean, do you tend to get more people asking for service on standard, well, obviously more automatic transmissions, but I mean, are there more things that can go wrong in an automatic transmission?
Certainly, yeah. There's a lot of components, a lot of moving parts in an automatic transmission, and automatic transmissions are less tolerant to abuse. So manual transmissions are more simple in design, and they possess more strength in their construction. And automatic transmissions, while they're less efficient as far as power flow and power loss, they're becoming more and more efficient with modern technology and engineering and design. And so
I can imagine they have gained the benefit of all the electronic and computerization effects that have taken over elsewhere in the car, that there are probably lots of things going on in the transmission that didn't used to happen or just happen more often.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the newest kind of transmission, which we were just talking about, the CVT, which is a constantly variable transmission, is being utilized in a lot of passenger cars now. It's a, you know, not that new of a design in terms of, you know, from what I understand, it was used a lot in smaller, you know, like mopeds, mm-hmm. and lawn tractors and snowmobiles and also military equipment, heavy equipment. But as far as in passenger cars, it's really just in the last 10 years or so, CVT transmissions have been pretty ubiquitous out there. And so what that allows for is a really high number of possible gear ratios. It's almost infinite, and a high efficiency, I think 88% efficient of power flow through that transmission.
So there must be something that expands and contracts in size, because otherwise you'd have to have 90 gears in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a couple of pulleys, and of course there's, you know, a dozen different kinds of CVT transmission designs, but I think the most common one for cars is you've got two pulleys, and the space between each side of a pulley changes, and that essentially changes the gear ratio. And so you have a drive pulley and you have a driven pulley, and each one of those pulleys expands or contracts. And so the belt, which is actually a steel belt inside these transmissions, can sink into the pulley deeper or ride on more the outside of the pulley, and that essentially changes the gear ratio as many times and as often as possible to create maximum efficiency, which translates to the almighty fuel economy.
Right, which yeah. It's important to most of us, yeah.
Well, it's important to the government, too, and so the government mandates.
Okay, sure, yeah. This is where you pick up those extra miles per gallon by greater efficiency in your shift.
Exactly, yep. And that's how you can be driving down the highway now at for those of you who like to drive fast, you might notice that 85 miles an hour, your car is at 1,900 RPMs, where it used to be your car would be at 4,000 RPMs and over-revving, mm-hmm. and you'd just be getting horrific fuel economy. Well, now at very high speeds, you get worse fuel economy due to drag, but it's much better fuel economy than you used to get because you've got that really low RPM due to that highly efficient transmission.
This is in a real overdrive situation. There,
yeah. You know, yep.
Where you're going a lot faster. Okay. We're talking with Zach Edwards in this month's edition of the Squeaky Wheel. Transmissions, the topic this month. Something going clink clank in your car. You don't think it's the engine, or something a little weird when you step on the gas and it takes a moment to engage. Those are the kinds of things we're looking for. Join us on the exchange and talk about this or any other car problem for that matter. It's all open field for Zach. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone and tell us your car issue, or send one in to jx@jeffnet.org. So I have had a few cars over the years that had some transmission issues, and that one I mentioned is one I've noticed before where you step on the gas and it seems like there's a momentary before it finally gets into gear and starts moving and drive, and this is in an automatic transmission. What's generally going on there, do you know?
Yeah, that's probably going to be low pump pressure. So you've got a hydraulic pressure that needs to be there in order to engage the planetary gear sets in an automatic transmission. And when you have a low pump pressure, it becomes especially low at idle. And that can be caused from low fluid level as well. So if you had a leak and the fluid became low, what's going to happen is that pump is going to be pulling in air and fluid. And so it's not going to be able to build that pressure because, you know, obviously a fluid is not compressible. That's how it's transferring power, is by pushing fluid. But when you get air in there, air is compressible. And so you'll get that delayed engagement, and then it'll slam, that's really hard on a transmission, by the way. So the two most important things, I think, with automatic transmissions is fluid maintenance. And we talk about this all the time. Fluid maintenance is critical. And if there is a problem with a transmission, you want to get it dealt with right away. You don't want to keep driving with the problem, because that problem is going to be made much worse through use.
There are no self-healing transmissions, is that what you're saying?
There is no self-healing, no.
So I know that when it says to check the fluid, it used to say, when you pull the stick out, it would say, check while hot, idling in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the case when you're checking your automatic transmission fluid?
It is with a lot of them, but you know, with every car now, there's so many different procedures, and a lot of cars don't have a dipstick to check that automatic transmission fluid. A lot of cars are using lifetime fluids, so the manufacturer is not recommending ever changing that fluid. There's a lot of mixed opinions about that. I, for one, don't really condone lifetime fluids. We've just seen a whole lot of failures.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, the fluid does last a lot longer than it used to. So typical vehicles, we recommend changing that transmission fluid every 2 years. You know, BMWs, modern BMWs, even, you know, 10-year-old BMWs, they call for that fluid to never need to be changed. But then we see fluid, you know, we see cars come in with failed automatic transmissions and the fluid is just black. And so what we like to do is, you know, base it off of the fluid condition that we see, and how we check that fluid is oftentimes we pull a plug from the bottom side of the automatic transmission, and when the fluid is at a certain temperature, it will overflow out of that plug, and we can then see the color of that fluid. And the goal is to never let that fluid become discolored. And so,
does the automatic transmission fluid then, is it a different purpose? I mean, you mentioned it's got a kind of a hydraulic fluid usage, but is it also a lubricant? I mean, does it pick up, I mean, is it going to turn black over time because you get bits of things grinding into that fluid?
Yeah. There's clutch material that's going to get in there, but also it's a heat dissipation. You know, it carries a lot of heat away, and which then is dissipated through the automatic transmission cooler, which is located usually within the radiator or next to the radiator. And so, but back to the bits of friction material that gets into the fluid, in theory, that should be filtered out through the automatic transmission filter. And so again, that's an item that used to be changed regularly. And nowadays many manufacturers are saying it never needs to be changed. And so you just, as a technician, we have to make a judgment call and try and, you know, offer our best recommendation for the customer. And where
which
that gets,
I imagine gets into some interesting areas for you, is if you're saying you really should change it, they're saying, but the manufacturer says never change it.
Exactly. It's a total judgment call, and I think one of the reasons it's so sticky is, you know, manufacturers, they're trying to sell cars first and foremost, and so the lifetime fluid, generation of cars, I think, is as much of a marketing tactic as it is a change in engineering. I mean, I know that engineering has gotten a lot better and powertrains are lasting a lot longer, but we have seen over and over and over again that this fluid does not last the lifetime of a vehicle. And, you know, what is the lifetime of a vehicle? I don't know if they really define, you know, lifetime fluid up to 100,000 miles. At that point, you better change it. Because we don't really see fluids that look very good after 100,000 miles. I see a lot of failed transmissions if the fluid hasn't been changed.
Zach Edwards, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, our regular guest for the squeaky wheel. We're talking about transmissions this month, but anything that ails your car or truck is fair game. Give a call with your question for Zach about vehicle care and maintenance. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what was the model year where manufacturers began talking about never change your transmission fluid? Obviously the 97 Toyota is not part of this.
No, I think it started happening in probably the mid, around 2008 is when it started happening. And, you know, don't quote me on that, but that was kind of when I think a lot of, especially German cars were struggling with sales because they have this reputation of being expensive to own, being expensive to maintain, and also, you know, the maintenance. A lot of the listeners might be familiar with a 60,000 mile service or a 90,000 mile service. Those are maintenance services, and they can be very expensive. And so I think to combat that, the reputation of those scheduled maintenance services, on the front end, manufacturers would, you know, try and tout that they have very low maintenance costs by offering lifetime fluids. And so, but yeah, around 2005, maybe 2008, it really started taking effect. And of course, around 2012, those cars started coming in with high miles and problems. And so,
because they've been used all the time without the fluid change.
Yeah.
For somebody who runs a garage like yourself, I mean, do you work on transmissions? I mean, I'm aware of the fact that there are lots of places that are transmission specialists. I mean, are they difficult to work on if you're specializing in other engine and body stuff?
Yeah. Transmissions are very, very complicated, especially automatic transmissions. They require a certain amount of cleanliness, which is beyond what most shops can create. We have a very clean shop, and we would never attempt to rebuild an automatic transmission in our shop. The facilities that do remanufactured transmissions, which is what we sell, they do this in an environment that's a multi-million dollar facility.
Is it like a clean room with the bunny suits and everything?
Yep, clean rooms. And the reason we choose to sell these transmissions is because there's a warranty with them that is very reliable and that we can stand behind. It's just a lot of liability and a lot of money to rebuild an automatic transmission that you can stand behind. And so we've tried several different manufacturers and we've settled on one primary manufacturer that we use, and they have a really good warranty, and they tout their facilities. Obviously, they have this incredible facility with these clean rooms.
Is there often one point of failure? Is there one thing that's going to fail in a transmission that just renders it unusable? And at that point, you're taking the old one out and getting it rebuilt.
No, each transmission is different. So there's, you know, each car seems to have their predictable patterns, and that's, you know, changes with every model year. But no, there's not really one particular failure that happens. But oftentimes, poor fluid condition, I would say, and overheating a transmission is another really common issue. You know, I was fielding a question from a customer the other day I bumped into at the bank, and he was going to tow a U-Haul trailer with a Toyota RAV4. And he was wondering, you know, how much weight can I put in this the owner's manual says I can tow, you know, 2,500 pounds or something like that. And I think I'm going to be right about 2,500 pounds. And I'm going to Northern California. What do you think? And I just cringed because that's going to make an automatic transmission fluid get really, really hot. And once that fluid is hot, it can no longer take the heat away from the innards of that transmission. And then the transmission is going to overheat and things are going to break down. So that's just a really common scenario, just overheating.
So if we'd lived in Nebraska, though, where it's nice and flat in a lot of places and they're towing that up to their limit of towing, would you have been easier about that rather than crossing the Siskiyou?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the Siskiyou Summit is, I think it's the steepest summit on the West Coast.
It is the highest on the I-5, yeah.
Yeah, and so pulling your maximum load across that summit in the springtime or summertime, well, any time of the year really, is just not a good idea.
Okay, so yeah, things to think about with your transmission and what kind of load you're putting on it. Somebody wanted to get outside the transmission questions. Sue sent in an email and said, I had an oil change in my 2009 Camry Hybrid, 64,000 miles, this past Saturday. The technician told me my struts were leaking. Should I be alarmed? Thanks, Sue.
Yeah, struts. So I think we talked about that last
suspension,
last month. So the McPherson strut is it's like a hydraulic shock inside of a steel spring, and that hydraulic shock has seals that are meant to keep the fluid and gas charge in. And when those seals fail, the strut can appear wet on the outside, and you get a bunch of dust and debris caking around that strut, sticking to the fluid. Or sometimes when they're totally blown out, you can actually see something dripping. And there's a couple of consequences of not repairing your struts. One is just really poor ride quality. Two, you can cause tire damage, irregular tire wear, cupping, or generally it would be cupping, and so that's going to make for a really rough ride quality. And three, a lot of people don't realize that bad struts are a safety concern, because once the car is bouncing excessively, what happens on an irregular road surface is the tire can actually come up off the ground, just the smallest amount, enough to lose traction. And so if you were, I think I used this example last month, if you were driving down from the Green Springs and you've got worn out struts or totally failed struts, and you're taking these hard curves coming down the Green Springs, and picture while you're turning, your tires are going up and down with irregularities of the road surface, and the strut can't dampen the road forces, what can happen is your tire can come up off the ground, and while you're banking on a hard curve, you're going to lose traction. And it takes just maybe one slippery surface in combination of all those other things, and the driver could lose control of the vehicle. And so
the struts are more expensive than the old shocks, though, right, to get replaced?
Yeah, definitely. It's more labor-intensive. There's a little bit more design to a strut cartridge than there is an old shock, but it's labor-intensive because you have to remove the entire assembly, and once the assembly is removed, then you have to disassemble it, pull out the hydraulic portion of it. Generally, we would reuse the steel spring unless the springs are... You know, you'd measure the spring height when they're out, and as long as they're not sagged, you'd reuse them.
Is that when I think about the things like the technician saying, "Hey, your struts are leaking," or something's leaking? I mean, is there anything in your car that's going to do a little bit of drippage anyway, given the pressures involved? I mean, is there anything you can just kind of go, "Eh, that's okay, that's normal"?
No, there's not. The only thing that's normal is the water dripping while your air conditioning is running in the summertime, mm-hmm. and that's condensation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we do get the customers that come in sometimes and say, there's something leaking out of my car, and it's just water, and that is normal, and it's just like your air conditioner at your house.
Let's take a call from Tony in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange during the squeaky wheel with Zach Edwards. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Getting back to transmissions under the there's nothing new under the sun category. And this is a car you're very unlikely to have ever worked on, but the Dutch produced a car in the late 50s called the DAF, D-A-F, for obvious reasons it was named that. And they had the idea of infinite variability of transmissions using the pulley system that you described. And it was highly successful in a sense in that it was okay for small cars, about 1400cc, which you can imagine in the 50s and 60s meant it was not much good for exporting to the USA. But it was around for a while. It was very clever. And the Volvo, who eventually bought DAF, did use it for a while in their small Volvos. And it's the system that you describe with the ratio. It's not geared as such. It's a system of pulleys. So the limitation of the materials at the time caused the limitation on the size of engine.
Interesting. Okay, thanks for that, Tony. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I read about that, and Volvo ended up buying that company, I think the entire company, and then it maybe ended up being in the hands of Robert Bosch, that design. But, it, you know, and that I was reading a little bit about CVTs early this morning, and I actually read that Leonardo da Vinci first conceptualized the CVT transmission in the late 1400s.
Wow.
And I didn't go into that area of the read because I could tell it was a rabbit hole that I didn't need to go down at 5:30 this morning. But it's just it's always impressive to think of these brilliant minds from hundreds of years ago and what they were coming up with.
That is amazing stuff. And then, of course, as we just heard, constant variability transmissions after World War II and then in existence today. Are they getting more common, the CVTs?
Yeah, definitely getting more common. They're very efficient, and that's, you know, there's a lot of power loss through an automatic transmission. And as we get stricter and stricter fuel economy standards, we've got to make the entire vehicle more efficient, and this is one area where manufacturers have found a lot of improvement.
Wow, we always learn so much from talking about cars with you. Zach Edwards is the proprietor of Ashland Automotive and our guest once a month for the Squeaky Wheel. Always good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.